Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Now the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I'll read it again for you. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now this verse shows you two things about the truth. Number one, it's going to cost you something in order to get it. And number two, once you get it, you don't want to sell it. That's what this verse shows you. So we call this, don't sell out. When you buy other investments, they're often bought and held for a period of time and then they're sold. That's how you realize your profit. You intended to put them away for a while and then to be able to live off of them later. Many times people will do that for their retirement. So they put away, and they don't touch the stuff. And then after they retire, they begin to withdraw and withdraw. And as they withdraw, hopefully their investments have made money for them by growing, you know, with interest or in a growth portfolio with stocks and bonds and other things like that. But with the truth, it's different. With the truth, you buy it, and then you never sell it. And that is how you realize the profit of truth. You see, it's different than other types of investments because you don't have to sell it in order to benefit by it. Well, you say, what about Jesus Christ? Undoubtedly, Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the truth. And Jesus Christ is free. So there is no buying the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that by looking in Romans chapter 5, for example. In Romans chapter 5, we find out that salvation in Jesus Christ is not something that costs you anything, but instead it is a free gift. Romans chapter 5, the Bible goes over again and again and again and says that Jesus Christ and the grace of God are a gift by grace. Romans 5:15 says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Free gift. Romans 5:15 says again, the gift. Romans 5:16 says, the gift. The free gift, it says again. Verse 17, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Verse 18, the free gift. There's no doubt about it. Jesus Christ did not cost you anything. If you had to pay something in order to get your salvation, or if you had to do something in order to get your salvation, then that's not salvation. That's religion. Salvation is a free gift in Jesus Christ. But you know something? To get this gift of salvation to you, there had to be a price. Some, in other words, as it is with all gifts, if you are going to give a gift to somebody else, it's going to cost you something to buy that gift before you can give it to them. And if you make it, it's going to cost you time and materials. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. So that cost Jesus Christ his life. So though it didn't cost you anything, it did cost him. So the truth does have a price tag. Now, after you get saved by receiving Jesus Christ and the free gift of grace and the free gift of his righteousness, then there is some other truth. The Word of God is the truth. He says here, buy the truth and sell it not. The Word of God is the truth, and that one is going to cost you something. First, you're going to have to pay money to buy the Bible. And some people want a very nice Bible with study notes, and some want a very nice Bible with a very attractive leather cover, and some want a Bible with a, you know, a Bible case or a Bible cover in which to carry it, things like that. Okay. Some people will only pay $9.95 to buy a Bible, and some people will pay $75 to buy a Bible. Whatever the case is, it's still going to cost you money to buy that Bible. All right? So there is a price. Buy the truth. The second thing is you're going to have to pay if you decide to purchase a commentary or attend a Bible school. When I read the Bible, I like to read along with the CDs from Alexander Scorby. I like to, you know, put my earphones in my ears and open the Bible and read along. That way it's going in my ears, and that way it's going in my eyes at the same time. I've done that for years. Now, there are times in my life when I haven't done it, just read, and I don't have that plugged in, and that's okay. But, you know, and there's good times for that, because you really want to take your time to meditate on the passage. But most of the time that I've read the Bible, I've read it with the sound going in my ears and the words going into my eyes. Now, that CD there of Scorby reading, that's going to cost you some money. I went to Bible school. I had to pay for my semesters of education. I had to pay for my books. I have commentaries, lots of them, sitting up here on the shelves, and books about missionaries, and books about Bible doctrine, and books about theology, and then there's a Bible atlas, and a Bible encyclopedia, and a Bible dictionary, and another Bible dictionary, and there's a book up there on illustration, several of those, and book up there on a preaching from the types and metaphors of the Bible, and then there are a number of variety of the versions of the Bible for study material, not to glean something with a better understanding, but to have that there for comparative study, so that when people say, well, what about this passage, you can look in the other Bible and tell them, look, that's not handled properly there. Books, other King James Bibles that are up there, a Reina Valera in Spanish and a King James Bible parallel. Lots of stuff up there. And let me tell you something. If you get into this stuff seriously and you start studying, you're going to end up shelling out a lot of money to buy the truth. It's going to cost you. All right. The third thing is, and this is the most expensive of all of these things that we've mentioned, you're going to have to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, in order to do that, you're going to have to devote time alone and time at church to the study of the words of God. And that time is very costly. You're going to pay. I mean, when you decide that you're going to study the Bible, then that's time you're not going to be spending with the family. That's time that you're not going to be spending in recreation. That's time you're not going to be spending in other work. You're going to be spending that in the Bible, studying the words of God. That's going to cost you something. And then to sit under a teacher in church and to sit under a preacher at church, that's going to cost you something. So there you go. There is a purchase for the truth. And now, once you have the truth and you are spending money and time studying it regularly, you must never sell it. Never sell it. Don't sell the wisdom. Don't sell the instruction. Don't sell the understanding that come from the Bible. Because if you do, then you are a sellout. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding, that you're a sellout. Now, the prime example, and I've used this before, if you've heard me any length of time, you've either here in the pulpit or here in the radio, you've heard this particular illustration, but it is just an absolute classic. Years ago, before I, let me just put it, okay, back date for you just a second. When I was in college, I attended the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, John Bassanio. Then I got into the banking business and I began to stray away from church. And then after I became successful in business and moved to Beeville, we started going to a variety of churches to see which one we wanted to go, and we ended up in the First United Methodist Church there. All right, now, I was comfortable there, but then I wasn't living for the Lord, and so if I wasn't getting solid preaching, it didn't seem to upset me that much, you know, just I was there. It seemed like the thing to do. Then while I was there, the Lord dealt with me, and I started reading the Bible, okay? And as I started reading the Bible, I was studying it and paying a price to learn its truths. I realized that our preacher wasn't telling everything that he could about the text that he was taking, and I wanted to know why. So I took him to lunch, and I said, "Why are you not telling what that verse says?" And he gave me some stuff that he learned in seminary and so forth. And so, okay, we broke it off. And the next time that it happened, I took him to lunch again, just him and I. And I said to him, "The Bible says this, but you said that. Why?" More stuff from notes and more whatever. So the next time that it happened, I mean, he was on a profound text regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't preach the gospel. So I asked him if we'd go to lunch, and he said, sure. And we went to lunch, and I said, "Look, the Bible clearly shows this is salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. You didn't preach that. Why not?" And this is what he said. He said, "If I were to preach what that Bible said from our pulpit, half the people in this church would leave, and then who would pay the bills?" That is a very, very profound statement. You know what that is? That is a sellout. He sold out the truth so that he could keep enough people in there to pay the bills. He didn't know whether those people would leave or not. He didn't know but whether maybe many of those that were there that might not have been saved would have gotten saved, and then the church would have grown because of the exploding of the Word of God and the salvation and regeneration of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. But he was afraid to test the water, and so he sold out and said, "I'll duck the truth. I won't say it, because I'm afraid that many people might leave the church. I don't know if they would have or not." I don't know. I left. I didn't take anybody with me. I just said to him, I said, "Well, I can't leave my family here in a situation like that. We'll go." And so we, and, you know, from there to here, here we are. So you can't sell out. You cannot compromise the truth once you get it. Once you know what it is, it may not be popular. It may be costly to you in order to, you know, because you'll have to bear some reproach or whatever. Hey, if that's what goes with the territory, you stick with the truth. Don't sell out. Don't sell out on the wisdom, the instruction, the understanding, or the truth of God's words. Now, we're going to look at some sellouts in the Bible, and we're going to learn from them. We're going to see what it was that compelled them to turn from the truth and not follow the Lord. All right, I'll show you one. Eli, back in 1 Samuel. Eli, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Eli sold out. You say, what did he sell out for? Well, he sold out really for three things, but we'll lump them all into one. He sold out for fatness, laziness, and family. The lust of the flesh and family. That's what he sold out for. 1 Samuel chapter 1, notice this in verse 9. Hannah, you know about her. She's the one that didn't have the baby, and she's praying in Shiloh that she can get pregnant. So Hannah, in verse 9, rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest, watch it, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Wait a minute. If you go back and you study the articles of furniture for the temple, there's an altar of incense and the brazen altar. There's the laver. There's the candlestick. There's the table of showbread. There is the ark. There is the mercy seat. But there is no seat for the priest in and around that temple. No seat. Why? He is always to be busy about the work of the Lord. And Eli got lazy. And so he said, "Let's just put a little seat in there and give the old man a little place to sit down, you know, because I'm getting tired and I'm getting a little old." And when a man sells out because he's lazy, then you know what is going to happen to him? Why, of course, bad things. And there are a lot of men in the ministry that have gotten lazy. They don't want to write their sermons anymore. They subscribe to services that write sermons for them. They simply use their great voices of oration and get in their pulpits and say whatever comes up. and they're not digging in the words of God. I've heard men that have been asked questions. I heard one, it's been a while back now, but a radio broadcast where a lady called in and she says, hey, I want to know something. I remember that the Bible says that they plucked off the hair of the cheek of Jesus Christ, and I can't remember where that is. I was trying to show that to somebody. Can you tell me? And this preacher was a guy that had a call-in program to answer questions, and he couldn't tell her where it was. And I know why he couldn't, because it appears that way in the King James Bible, and he was using cross-references from other Bibles on a computer program, and when they typed in the key words, nothing came back. Well, I was sitting there driving my car just astounded. I said, it's Isaiah chapter 50. Why can't they figure that out? And they never did give her the answer. And she finally just had to hang up. You know what the problem was? Lazy. Lazy. It's easy to punch the buttons on that computer program and get that thing to come back in the concordance. It's a lot harder to spend time in the Word, underlining, reading, cross-referencing, and building your own references there so you can remember that stuff. He had a seat, see, by a post of the temple of the Lord. Well, that little seat, that's a very small addition but to the furniture of the temple, but it resulted in a total departure of the power and the presence of God from Israel. He sold out. But that's not all. Look in chapter 2, verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. He not only sold out because he got lazy, he sold out because of his children. The Lord is getting after Eli, and he says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Eli was getting fat off the offerings too. Look in verse 18 of chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18. When Eli died, he died when he found out that the ark had been taken by the Philistines. He fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man, watch it, and heavy. You know what Eli was doing? He was sitting around on that seat, and he was eating more of the offering that was to be dedicated to the priests than was his allotment, and so were his sons. His sons were so bad that when people came in there to offer, the sons had a servant that would go out and take a three-pronged fork and stick it into the cauldron with the food in there, you know, the meat for the offering, and pull out way more than they were entitled to. And when the people said something about it, the boy's servant said, you just hush your mouth. This is the way we do things around here. So fatness and laziness, family, Eli sold out for all that stuff. I mean, you want to talk about bad. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, this is what Eli found out and did not do anything about it. In verse 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli was very old and heard that all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Well, he asked them about it, but he didn't stop them. They were lying with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Can you imagine that? An orgy in the worship service. And all he could say is, the report I hear of you is no good. But he didn't stop them from what they were doing. Not only that, look, when you read in Leviticus about the fire burning perpetually in the tabernacle, that meant that during the night, before they go to bed, oil had to be restored into the lamp so that the lamps would continue to burn, and in the morning, and if it required, in the middle of the night. Well, Eli didn't want to do that. So the Bible says about Samuel, when he got ready to go to bed, Eli was laid down in his place. 1 Samuel 3:3 says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. So every night, old Eli said, I don't want to trim those lights. Got a little too tired. I think I'll just go to bed and let that light go out. You know something I've noticed in my own life? I've tried various things when, you know, I have a long day, and I have a lot of long days in the ministry, but a lot of times at night I might get home and I'm keyed up and not really ready to go to sleep when I need to. You know, my body's tired and I need the rest, but my mind's still churning pretty good, and I'll try to lay down. But oftentimes when I do that, you know, what happens is there's just a a winding in the head. You know what I learned? Best thing to do is read that Bible at night, also before you go to sleep, so that your mind begins to rest in the words of God. Sleep better. You know, like not letting the lamp of God go out before you go to sleep at night. It also helps your dreams. In chapter 3, verse 13, God told Samuel to tell Eli that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, you know what Jesus said to us? Jesus said, if you're going to get in here with these words, there's going to be division with your family. There's even going to be hatred. And that your family are not to hinder you from doing what God told you to do. And if you're going to prefer them above the Lord, then you're selling out just to keep peace around the house. Wrong move. I'll tell you another guy that sold out. Solomon. Solomon sold out for his lusts and his wives. Now look here. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, clear instructions were left for the king. And you know that Solomon knew what these instructions were, because each king was to copy out a copy of this book and read it daily. All right, well, in Deuteronomy 17:16, the Bible says he shall not multiply horses to himself. Solomon had stalls, 40,000 stalls for horses, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. He multiplied horses to himself, nor caused the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses, and they were buying horses out of Egypt. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, that his heart turned not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And he received 666 talents of gold in 1 year. He did every one of those things because of his lusts. And those wives that he married, according to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, turned his heart away from God and caused the destruction of Judah. King Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 says, King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations, concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. What was the problem there? He sold out. He was specifically forbidden in Deuteronomy to do the things he did. He sold out for his wives, and he sold out for his lusts. When God forbids you to do certain things or tells you to do other things, then you know what you have to do? You have to do them no matter what. You don't sell out. The Pharisees sold out for their tradition. In Mark chapter 7, you go over there and read that. God says, Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, you've made the word of God of none effect. You keep the tradition of men and reject the words of God. And you know what Colossians 2:8 tells you about that? Colossians 2:8 tells you specifically about that tradition, that you are not to follow it. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You say, well, what is that about? Well, when I grew up in a Catholic church, and their tradition is of equal authority to the Scripture. And we followed a lot of tradition that is not Bible. And as a result, we were not led in the truth. Now today, you'll find people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and stick with the tradition because they're comfortable with that and they know the ritual of the church and all of that. Let me tell you something. When you do that, you have sold out on the truth, because there are verses in there that forbid you to do the things you do in there. For instance, you call your priest father, and Matthew 23, verse 9 tells you specifically you're not to do that. But you uphold the tradition because you like everything else about the service. Then you're a sellout. Saul sold out to keep a crowd. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11, Saul sacrificed when he was actually supposed to wait for Samuel to do the sacrifice. And the reason that he did it, he told Samuel, is that he was concerned about the people that were leaving him in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash." He sold out to keep a crowd. And do you know something? When you look at this modern church movement to keep up big crowds and to build mega churches, a lot of ministries in those categories have forsaken the truth in order to keep a crowd or to get up a crowd. But you got to remember, when you read that Bible, it was the crowd that hollered for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You got to remember that when God wanted to defeat the Midianites, he trimmed Gideon's crowd to get down to the best 300 fighting men. God doesn't need a crowd to do what he needs to do. And particularly doesn't need you to compromise the truth in order to get your crowd or to keep your crowd. A man who does that, a man who compromises the truth in order to get up a crowd or keep a crowd, is a sellout. And Solomon told us in no uncertain terms, you buy that truth and you don't sell it. Don't sell the wisdom. Don't sell the instruction. Don't sell the understanding. It doesn't make any difference if that's because you want to feast on your lusts, because your family's putting pressure on you, because your wife is putting pressure on you, because you are tied to a tradition of your particular religious choice, or because you are concerned about the size of your crowd. You give up on the truth in order to make room for any of those other things right there, you're a sellout. And he told you, don't do it. And God said to you, don't do that. Now you get to that truth of God's word, you get back on your knees and you tell the Lord you're sorry that you've given in on that stuff. You tell the folks that you've given in to, I'm not going to turn my back on the truth just to satisfy you. I'm here to satisfy God. And God's interested in the truth. And then you'll be back on track with him. And then you stay there till he comes. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.